How's it going, everyone? You're listening to Free Kick, the official AFLW fantasy podcast, and today we're doing the Sydney Swans team preview. And I've got the analyst here for today, Jono. Tell us about Sydney.
Yeah, thanks, Mel. It's Sydney had such an interesting season because, you know, they obviously had quite a disappointing 2024 with just the 3 wins, but absolutely came out on fire last season. I think it was 6 wins in the end, but I think they had so many of them quite early in the season, and they came out with so much confidence. I don't know if you remember this, but this was one of the big moments of the season last year for me, was the quarter time score announcement that they put up on Twitter, because they're the first team I've ever seen, you know, not just say, oh, we're 2 goals 5-17 or something like that, but they were like 2 goals 5-0-17. They were planning for the 3 digits, and you know, by golly, they got there. So that was a pretty great start to the season. And I love the energy they were bringing. But yeah, ended up with just the 6 wins and the 6 losses, a 107.5 percentage. And really, a lot of those misses were quite disappointing. I think we were talking before about, you know, 3 of those were to bottom 5 teams in Collingwood, GWS and Essendon. And any one of those, if they win them, they're making finals. So I guess in the end, you'd probably be pretty disappointed as a Swans supporter.
Good to show that they've got the contention in them, but yeah, or to miss out by just a little bit last season. I mean, it gets us very excited for this season at least.
You'd hope that, you know, with a little bit more confidence, some maturity in the legs. I don't think they've had too much change to their overall side. You know, we're looking at some of the outs. Rebecca Privatelli is probably the one big loss as a key forward. But in terms of the players coming in, Taylor Smith is coming in from the Brisbane Lions. He's a former leading goal kicker for the AFLW. That's a fantastic one-for-one replacement if you're going to have one. The big thing as well this season is off the back of that disappointing 2025 campaign, the Swans have hired a new senior coach. So we've got Colin Riordan, who is an ex-Sydney men's player, Irish-born. And it's going to be very, very interesting to see what he brings to this side, because I think they've got talent on every line, and the question really is how far can he take them?
Yeah, there's not too much tweaking that needs to be done from last season to make this a finals team. And we will get to see, like, it's always a bit nervous with the new coach in terms of the fantasy impact, but we will get to see what Colin can do because he'll be coaching the Ireland versus Australia match on the 1st of August, so a little bit of a pre-season display.
Yeah, and no, I love that. Just in time for us to finalise our teams a little bit later in August, so that's going to be great.
Yes, so to hear a little bit more about how Sydney's going in the preseason, we've got an interview coming up with Tanya Kennedy. Let's throw to the Tanya Kennedy interview now.
Hi, everyone. We're very, very lucky to have Sydney Swans midfielder Tanya Kennedy with us today. How are you going, Tanya?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for coming on. So firstly, your story is a really, really interesting one. You've come over from Ireland over a decade ago, but was signed to the Swans as an injury replacement player on the eve of the 2023 season, and have since gone on to be an integral part of the Swans team and played every game since. Can you give us a bit of a insight into your journey into the AFLW?
Yeah, exactly. I was lucky enough to get on the list after an injury, but it started off, I just played some local footy, but I grew up loving sports, played Gaelic and soccer at home, came traveling to Australia, was traveling around, just played local footy for a Gaelic team and a soccer team over here. And had a, like, I watched the AFL, like the men's Sydney Swans for, like, I lived in Sydney and watched it. I was like interested in the game. I was like, oh, and I had a few mates play it as well. And they were like, oh, would you ever give it a go? And it was in the back of my mind always. I'm like, yeah, I think I love this sport, actually, because, like, it's pretty similar to Gaelic, but you get to tackle and stuff. And yeah, it's awesome. So I was like, oh. And then later down the line, eventually, I was like, flick it, I'm just going to give it a go. And joined a local team, Inner West Magpies. At the time, I didn't even think about professional, like getting a professional, just wanted to play for a bit of fun. I played alongside a few of the Giants girls at the time, Priv, So yeah, played alongside her. It was great.
There you go.
Played a few games, loved it. Like, it was like, oh, this is, you know, when you just get that feeling, I was like, this is the sport.
Yeah, for sure.
So then, yeah, so through that, I think there was a few girls down watching the match, and then the manager of the Giants was like, would you like to come in for a train on? I was like, yeah, why not? So I was like, went on. I was like, cool, this is amazing. Like everything. I was like, but at the time I was due to go home and play a bit of Gaelic football. Mm-hmm. So like I could have got on for a rookie at that year, but ended up didn't get contracted with them. Whatever happened behind the scenes, I went home. And then I was like, when I come back, so I went home to play a bit of Gaelic, and I was like, when I come back out, I really want to get drafted in.
Yeah.
I was like, got a feel for it then. Before, it was never on the cards, and then got a little sniff of it, and I was like, this is what I want. So went home to play Gaelic football, because I was supposed to go home a few years previous, but COVID and stuff hit.
Yeah, of course.
So I got pushed back. So I was like, whenever I come back, I'll get try to get contracted, still in talks with the Giants and whatever else. Came back, everything, when I was at home, everything got pulled forward that year.
Yeah.
So whenever I came back, they were like, oh, sorry, no, there's no contract there. Everything got put forward, so I didn't have an opportunity with another team. So I was like, damn, I missed out that year. So I think that was 2022.
Yeah.
And then came back, was like, right, I really want to get a contract. Was still speaking Giants. And then an opportunity came up to play on with the Swans, train on with the Swans as well. So I was like, yeah, I'll come along, see what's going. And they didn't have, their list was full at that stage. So yep. I was in, do I go to Melbourne, do VFL, do I stay in Sydney? Like the Giants was like, nah, you're not getting, like there's no space for you. So yeah, I was torn up between staying, like, and I love the Swans, the girl, even though I wasn't on their list, the girls were so welcoming, the coaches, the staff and the facilities, like just yeah. everything about it. I was just like, I love this place. But then they didn't have a list spot. So I was like, but they were very open and honest with me. They were like, look, you can stick around. There might be a position next year. You just never know. So I held on. I was like, you know what? I'll just hold out. And then a spot became available because of a few unfortunate for the girls, like injuries. And I got my opportunity and grabbed it with both hands. I was like, yeah. So I was like, yes. And then I was in it. And I'm still like pinching myself. I'm like, 4 years later, I'm like, holy shit, how did this happen? I'm like, yeah, and grateful for the opportunity.
Oh, that's absolutely fantastic. And as you said, you've grabbed it with both hands because you've become such an integral part of that team. You've talked a bit about, obviously, your Irish background, and there's now a very Irish flavour at the Swans with Colin O'Reardon and now your senior coach. How's he been as your coach, and how's that sort of changed coming from Scott Gowans?
Colin, he's just a lovely guy. Like he's like so passionate about the game. Like he played as well with the Swans. So
yeah,
he gets it. He's come from Ireland. So we, like, for us Irish, we kind of have that connection with him as well. But he's like, he's a part of the team. He understands. And
yeah,
like as a coach, he's very relatable in every way. Even if he didn't come for Ireland, like he just makes an effort with everyone.
That's wonderful. And I think one of the other things I'm quite keen to hear about is the 2024 season. So the year before last was a bit of a disappointing one for the Swans after a finals campaign. And then last year was a much, much better year, I guess. How did you sort of go about, you know, righting the wrongs of that season? And how does that sort of translate into this year?
So obviously we want to reflect back on what went well, what didn't, but we don't want to get stuck in there.
Yeah, of course.
So we're like, right, what's ahead for us? And like try to build on what we need to work on and like take it on board, but not really get too like hooked up on shit, like what happened, what went wrong, I suppose. So dealing with it is like, look, you know what can happen. So just try to rewrite the new story and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah,
and with that is just taking it week by week, like trusting the coaching is trusting each other and just working on what we need to work on to be like in the top eight and wanting to make finals.
Yeah, of course. And you were so close last season, just missed out right at the end. With the new coach coming in, obviously, don't need to give too many secrets away, but has there been much discussion about sort of what Colin's going to bring to sort of take you to that next level?
Yeah, of course. Like, he's come in. There's been, like, fresh, like, new draftees come in too, new coaching, new system. So, yeah, there's been talks about making finals, but, like, just training every week, trying to get better.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of excitement as well. So I feel like if we follow it, connect well, then there's always, like, you just never know what can happen in finals. We are hoping to get into.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, you mentioned, you know, draftees and exciting young talent. The Sydney list is absolutely stacked with exciting young talent, and you're part of a very exciting midfield group with Montana Ham, Sophia Hurley, and Laura Gardner, who seems like an absolute gun to work with. How's it been working with a lot of those exciting young talents?
Oh, amazing. Like, I love, like, playing alongside them. They just, like the talent, the way they can play the footy, like, and working in with them, like, it just works very well. I feel like everyone plays a role and everyone has their strengths. And, like, once they connect, it's pretty amazing. Like, the speed of Laura and, like, Mon, the way she can burst out of tackles. Yeah. And, like, the likes of Sippy. And then we've got, like, new people. Like, the talent is growing and growing. Like, you forget that they're just so young as well.
Yeah,
like, you're,
for sure.
You're there beside them and you're like, whoa, I can't believe. Like, you're only at your start of your footy career and, like, that's what they're, like, putting out there. It's like, what, few years? They're going to be unstoppable. Like,
yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you mentioned Zippy Fish. I mean, what a debut season it was for her. I mean, it must be super exciting watching her grow, because as you said, she's still, you know, 19 years old and she's already that good. It must be pretty crazy to think what she might be able to do going forward.
Oh, it's exciting. Even anytime she gets on the ball, it's excitement. You just don't know the kicks that she can just pull off. Not many people can do it. Like, it's, and it's so effortless to her.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, she just, like, her talent is amazing. There's a massive future ahead for the likes of her and so many more.
Oh, absolutely. And she's part of a really, you know, solid backline group. Want to give a quick shout out to Brenna Tarrant, who's an absolute favorite of us here at the podcast. But another player I'd be interested to hear about is the other draftee, Alex Nayland, who was an intercept defender in her junior years. Is she likely to slot in down back, or what's her role looking like early in the preseason?
So she's been training really well. So I don't think she has a solid role as of just yet, what position she's going to play, but by the looks of her, I think she could play anywhere. You could put her anywhere. Her size, her able to intercept the ball, able to catch the ball, like, even kick goals, like, defend. Like, she's got it all. That's the whole package. And it's, like, exciting. Like, she's just drafted in now. And, like, you even watch the academy, the talent coming through is just, like, it's growing so much every year. It's just getting better. Like, it's, the competition is getting more competitive. It's so good.
Yeah, for sure. And that's exactly what I've, you know, seen and read about Alex, is the fact that it doesn't really matter where she plays, she's really good. Another player who's a bit like that is Chloe Malloy, who obviously is a superstar, but moved out of the midfield last year to give, you know, the proper midfielders like yourself a go. But her impact last season was incredible, led the league for, you know, score involvements, and it must have just been so great to have a player of her quality back.
Oh, like, Chloe, like, she has such a high presence on the field. Like, she's just so, her experience and her talent, as well as her leadership, like, is just different compared to, like, she just has such an impact in the group, and, like, her knowledge, and she'll bring people into the game, and, like, her, like, it's a massive miss when she's not playing. But the difference that she makes when she's playing, just to even pull people into the game.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Even off the ball, like, she's, because we've obviously got a young squad, so for her impact and, like, delegate, like, to grow the players is like a massive, like it's massive for us.
Yeah, what absolutely. She does. Absolutely. And you have lost one of your more senior players in, you know, Beck Privatelli, who, as you said, you have a bit of a playing history with, but you've kind of filled that gap with arguably the best possible replacement in Taylor Smith from Brisbane. How's she settled into the group?
Oh, Tay settled in like perfectly. Like her, the things that she can just catch the ball or I don't even know. Like she's just a gun. Like, and it's so good because, yeah, we were missing like, it was sad to see Beck gone. And then like the replacement is, yeah, she's slotted right in. And like, it's going to be a hell of a season. Like for like the forwards, the forward line is like, we're just stacked now. It's it's so good, like to see, like not in the, but like she's just like a player that just slotted right in. Like her aerial contest is unreal, and like we're only a few weeks into preseason, obviously, but like you can see a glimpse of it, like, you know. So it's exciting to actually, because the talent in the whole competition, you know, you think you're traveling good, but like the top teams, like you want to competing against that, and you don't really know where you sit until you start playing, like even cracky matches and stuff. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how everything gels together, and like, but she's traveling so good.
Yeah, that's incredible to hear. And we actually interviewed her last year for our Brisbane episode, so we're really glad that she's fitting in well at the Swans. And as you say, like you've got so many weapons up there. Holly Cooper was one that almost seemed to come out of nowhere last year, and you know, kicked an absolute stack of goals. So you've just completely blessed with weapons, it would seem.
Yeah, like it's so exciting for us. Like exactly, like we've got so many in your name. Like you've got the tall, you got the short, you got Coops. She's like just coming out. Chi, you've got like you got Chloe up there. You've just got loads of, and it's so good to have. Like it's, you need a whole list, like, you know, and you just like, it's so good that we have so many options and so many like talented players up there that are so young and only starting their career as well.
Yeah, it's exciting times up at the Swans. It sounds like it's going to be an amazing season to come. And I think we'll probably leave it there. But one question we do love to ask, and I know it's early in the preseason, but who's going really, really well so far, and who do you reckon set for a really big year this year?
So new player or
could be either someone who's been there before, who you think is gonna have a really big year, new player who's impressing, whatever you got.
Laura, she's like Laura, I can't like her, like I just love the way she plays, and she's traveling well, and she's the most consistent player. Like every week we know, like, yeah, her chat, I think she's one to watch. As we know, we've already watched her, but she's just even improving and improving.
Incredible. I mean, coming off of Best and Fairest would be an impressive breakout year again, I think. So that'd be great. Tanya Kennedy, thank you so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
That was such an awesome interview. I really love Tanya's energy. And something I find so fascinating about that was just hearing about her efforts and her repeated efforts and the intensity that she took to get into the AFLW. Like, isn't that just such a Tanya Kennedy representation? Like, she plays footy like she attacks getting into the AFLW.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. It's so fun that you find people with their journeys just matching up to exactly who they are on the field. It's so funny. And honestly, I could listen to any Irish player talk for an entire interview every time. It's always wonderful hearing them.
Yeah, love the accent. Let's use that to kickstart into the top five fantasy players that we've got for Sydney. And my gosh, there's a lot of great options to be choosing from here.
Yeah, no, they're not lacking for talent, that's for sure. First up, we're going to be covering Zippy Fish, who last year came out as a halfback in her first season for the Swans. And geez, what an incredible debut season. So for a rookie player to have scored 90 plus on 5 occasions in her first year, absolutely unbelievable. Ended up with the average of 81.8, but I think it's probably fair to say that a lot of those games, there was sort of a patch in the middle, and then towards the end of the season where I think she looked a little bit tired. They were playing some teams that I guess the Swans were just rolling over the top of, so the ball wasn't in the back line as much. So I guess with a stronger body, another preseason under the belt, is it possible that she becomes, you know, one of the best fantasy defenders in the game in just her second season?
That's absolutely crazy. So she was listed as a midfielder last season and she was a must-have in fantasy sides. But now with her fantasy role change coming over to defender status, in her second season, she'll be entering the defender line as the second highest averaging defender.
Yeah.
What a way to start.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And I guess as a result of their better season in 2025 than in 2024, they are going to be having a little bit of a tougher fixture this season. But as a defender, I think this is only good news. So if we look against the finalists that the Swans played last season, she scored a 94 against Adelaide, a 116 against North Melbourne. It was a 65 against Carlton, but they did win by nearly 40 points. So I wouldn't say that was the closest of games. She had 108 against Melbourne and then a 53 against West Coast late in the season, which I think was, again, a pretty handy win. But on the whole, like those big efforts there against the tougher teams, I think you can say her average is going to be a little bit better if she faces a tougher opponent across the season.
It's not often we see players coming into their second season knowing that they've got a 35-point headroom on top of their fantasy average. Like, that is phenomenal. Yeah. Not saying that she'll move straight up to 116 as her average, but, like, that is some exciting headroom for sure.
Absolutely. I think she's going to be a close watch this preseason to see if that role continues. And I'm very, very excited there. Another player that I'm very excited for, our number two, is Sophia Hurley, who missed a lot of last season. She had foot issues early in the season and then quad issues late in the season. So she only ended up playing, I think it was the 5 games. But, geez, her best is absolutely elite. I don't know if you watched that round 3 game against Geelong last year, but by far best on ground. 27 touches, kicked a goal, 117 fantasy points, and importantly, the 10 coaches' votes. So I think, you know, her high quality is recognized by the coaching world, and that's always great when we want to see more midfield time for her. I think the key thing is that she pretty much just replaces Darcy Maloney in the midfield rotation. We saw that when she was there, Darcy Maloney was kind of pushed out. And having missed so many games, she's fairly underpriced this year. The only red flag that I see is quite a stretch, and it relates to our number three player, Montana Ham. So I'm kind of going to do these two both at once here. So last year we saw Montana Ham jump into the midfield and as the number one pick from the 2022 national draft. Geez, like what a highly touted player and what amazing like follow through. I just think you don't see much line breaking talent better than what Montana Ham was doing last season. Managed to double their possession count on average, but was also kicking more goals, which is crazy given she was purely a forward the year before. So the question there is, I suppose, Sophia Hurley, Montana Ham, can you have them both in the midfield? And I think they're two players who kind of, you know, sometimes players complement each other, but I think these two could sort of steal the ball a bit from each other, given how effective they are at clearance. And we've got Taylor Smith coming in, as we mentioned before, into that forward line. So Montana Ham last season probably played about half her time in the midfield, half up forward, because she is quite an excellent, you know, lead up target. And so my question to you, Mel, is with Taylor Smith coming in, if you were Colin Riordan here and you're trying to decide what you do with Montana Ham, do you go, well, now we've got, you know, even more threats in the forward line, I'm going to keep this mix going for Ham? Or do you say, now that we're less worried about, you know, having these goal targets up forward, do you just play Montana Ham through the middle?
It's a good problem to have. If I was a stronger actor, I would do this in an Irish accent as if I was Colin Riordan. My assessment. It's a tricky problem to have, though, because, yeah, you've always got too much talent forward now and in the midfield as well. I think, I don't know, I think it's tricky because you could put her into the midfield and see her really narrow her focus and continue to develop there, which she did show she was so elite. But then who's stepping out? I don't know. I reckon we'll probably see Sophia Hurley more in the midfield and Montana Ham rotating between the two, which is not great for her fantasy scoring, but who's to say?
Yeah.
I'm really not sure how they're going to play this one.
I see it as either great for Sophia Hurley, or if Montana Ham pushes into the midfield entirely, great for Montana Ham. So I think one of these two players is going to be exceptionally relevant this year, and I just don't know which one.
Yeah, very tricky indeed. And both priced or coming in with an average in the 80s is a bit of mid-price madness here. Maybe yeah. Not one to start with. That's a pretty big bet to go on. But definitely two players to watch for their who gets the role and who takes the points from here.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say that Montana Ham, I mean, that average is so heavily boosted by that 133 she had early in the year against the Gold Coast. I don't think she actually broke 100 on, like, I think she maybe broke it once against Carlton where she had 103. But otherwise, yeah, it was mostly scores in those 80s and 70s, I guess, for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
But look, to move along to our next player, we can't talk about the Sydney midfield without talking about Laura Gardner. Because Laura Gardner, averaging 128.6, is the definition of an uber premium fantasy player. Absolutely unbelievable season that was.
Yep, highest fantasy scorer last season. Like, I can't believe she's fourth on our list. Well, actually, I can, because, you know, the Noffy effect might have a bit of a play here, and there's only one way.
Yeah.
Her average can really go to start off with, and that's down.
But well, that's the main issue here.
Elite player.
But when we talk about captain options, so she went at 100-plus in 10 of her 12 games last year, and in those 10, she went over 140 in 6 of them. Like, that's unbelievable. We're talking Ebony Marinoff-like levels here, and I just – it's hard to avoid a pick like that at the start of the season, particularly because – where are we seeing the regression? I guess that's the big question with Laura Gardner. If she's going to average that again, I really don't care about how expensive she is. I just want her in my side if she's going to average 128. The main thing that I worry about here, we're seeing Sophia Hurley come back into the side. What happened when those two players side by side? Because I think they've got a similar game style where they're great on the outside, they're great on the inside. They're just everywhere. So in the games that Sophia Hurley played, Gardner scored a 95 against Richmond, a 154 against the Gold Coast, an 82 against Geelong, which I would say was Hurley's best game for the season, and then a 158 against Essendon. Obviously, there's two incredible scores in there, but there's also her two games that she didn't make the 100.
It's not really given us a trend.
Yeah, it's that's very hard to make what that's going to do. But I just think that that's going to be a relevant thing to watch. Generally, I think it's probably you don't see players backing up 128 very often. So I think it's less than likely that I'm going to start with Laura Gardner in my side. But, you know, if she's not a target by rounds 4 or 5, you know, as soon as there's any cash drop, I'm jumping on board because I think she's one of the best players in the game. And I don't think we're going to be anywhere near hat territory if we're not, you know, finishing our season with her in our teams.
Yep, absolutely. I think that the only downside is that being so expensive, you might not want to start with her, but then you risk not being able to get her back at any time in the season. But more so than the Noffy situation, where I think so much of Sydney's success last season was based on Laura Gardner and her ability to get those uncontested possessions and really adjust to the, like, the slight shift her game plan and how she plays in line with the shift to the rules, and that really magnified her season and Sydney's. I think that we probably won't see, obviously we're not going to see an increase in Laura Gardner's score from here because that's crazy, but I think consistency will be a big thing for her. I think I don't see it dropping too much. I reckon that she will remain one of the highest scoring fantasy players, and that alone is enough reason to pick her up to begin with, because if you're not worried about her dropping any cash because you're not trading her out. So I reckon it's funny that she's fourth because, she's just going to be such an integral part of our teams. But, yeah, there's not a lot of headroom for growth.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, only fourth just because I think it's harder to start with her than it would be any of the other first three. But, yeah.
Yes.
tough.
Just jumping in here quickly with a re-recording of the pick number 5 for Sydney because – unfortunately, we spoke about Alex Nayland and they've since done their ACL and have ruled out for the season. So in order to keep information fresh, Jono, who have you got for number 5?
Yes, very, very sad about Alex Nayland. But I guess it allows us to talk once again about one of our favorite players at the Swans, Chloe Malloy. So Chloe Malloy was not someone we had on this list initially, just because they can pretty much appear to be fully priced. They're coming off an average of 76.7, which is pretty close to their career best. But the more that I've thought about it, the more I think there is a potential for a little bit of headroom. So last season, we saw Chloe Malloy coming back from an ACL injury that she sustained in 2024. But geez, she did not show any signs of that injury, coming out of the blocks with an 88, a 118, and a 96 in her first three games. Absolutely incredible. The thing that gets me a little bit excited for this season is that with Taylor Smith coming in, I think the dynamic of that forward line is going to change just a little bit. So in previous seasons, I think Chloe Malloy has definitely been the focal point of that forward line. You know, there are definitely other threats to worry about. Montana Ham is an excellent forward, Cynthia Hamilton, Beck Privitelli in seasons past. But really last season, yeah, we didn't see a lot of Beck Privitelli. And with Montana Ham moving forward, I think really Chloe Malloy was the focal point, and there was a lot of defensive attention on her, particularly after the way she started the season. So what I'm really looking forward to this season is that Taylor Smith, coming from the Lions and, you know, a previous leading goal kicker in the league, is absolutely a threat that defenses are going to need to worry about. And it might just give a little bit more opportunity for Chloe Malloy to not necessarily go unnoticed, but definitely someone who, you know, might get more one-on-one opportunities defensively, might have a little bit more space to lead into because, you know, the defenders can't necessarily zone off in the same way. I think it's going to be a little bit more opportunity, and we could see a slightly higher average. So I'm thinking that there could be, you know, maybe an 85 career best average ahead of her if things fall her way. There's always the risk, of course, that things do fall back a little bit, and, you know, maybe she's just not being as targeted as often in that forward line mix, so less opportunity for marks. But really, I think on the whole, this is going to be positive, particularly because one thing we haven't been able to see from Chloe Malloy as much is her ability to crumb and get at the forward of the contest, because she's usually having to go up for the mark. I think Taylor Smith is absolutely going to be the one going up for those big grabs, and it's going to show Chloe Malloy's footy IQ smarts a little bit more. So that's what I'm really hoping we can see from her this season. And hopefully is another option in our very busy looking forward lines.
Yeah, I mean, at 118 she got last season with 7 goals and 16 kicks, absolutely huge. Although we do take the goals away, there's, you know, it's her fantasy scoring isn't entirely driven by goals, which is good to see. There's a lot of other movement, especially kind of kicks and some big mark games. So, yeah, I think that this kind of makes sense. She does feel a little bit risky to me, because I'd want to kind of see that dynamic shift out, but I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, midway through the season when we're doing our Sweet 16 or 2021 rather this season, Chloe Malloy makes an appearance.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think definitely one of the players in the mix, and probably if we're looking at sort of that top end average, you know, there's a clear gap at the moment between Michaela Bowen and everyone else. I think Chloe Malloy is one of a handful of players that could close that gap. So that's an interesting one there.
Yep, I like it. Okay.
Well, I guess we're jumping back over to the host special with Mel.
Let's hear it.
And to wrap us off with the host special pick, I have thrown in there our interviewee, Tanya Kennedy, because this is what we need from Sydney, another midfielder with a price in the 80s, or an average in the 80s. So I've also picked up on their midfield position because I think she has a slightly different proposition maybe to a Sophia Hurley or Montana Ham, where with those guys we're talking about opportunity to increase potential significantly, but with a little bit of scoring significantly rather, but with a bit of risk in terms of who gets that midfield time. I think that Tanya Kennedy is more of a lock in her role, and she has shown that she is such a pivotal part to that midfield. She's also coming into her fourth season, so she's kind of has increased her fantasy scoring quite consistently over the last three, but as she comes into her fourth, there's still that room for potential. I don't think she'll get quite up to that elite status, but with her 87 last season, off the back of increasing her kicks to 13.2, like she's shown some really solid improvement, which I can see her carrying through into her fourth season. She's also has that like beautiful tackle pressure, which is just so good for fantasy scoring, and I can't see that going away anytime soon. Her combination work with like Laura Gardner being the tackler to get the ball off over into Laura's hands is fantastic. And she's always on the field, like with a 98% time on ground on average last season, just so pivotal, and a massive ceiling of 114 fantasy points from a huge game where she had 21 kicks. Like she's got the star power, she's got the use. Yeah, I think that she has more of a like a steady, consistent role. I think her fantasy score increase would probably come just from more time and more experience, rather than some kind of shift necessarily. But I think that she would be a pretty consistent mid-price option to have in there.
Yeah. No, I fully agree. I feel like the defensive pressure she brings is something that is so important to that Sydney midfield. So, you know, when we're talking about Ham, Hurley trying to, you know, balance their time against other players, I don't think Kennedy's one that's moving at all. It's more, you know, how much time do you take off a Gardner or a Maloney or something like that? It's definitely not coming at the expense of the defensive pressure. So, yeah, yeah. I mean,
but this is the problem with Sydney.
Yeah. I'm still hoping that we see good seasons from Lucy McAvoy. I understand why people would pick her. Cynthia Hamilton, I think, is on the cusp of a breakout. Like she's such a good player. I just don't understand how we're not seeing the fantasy translation yet. But yeah, it's a strong team, this Swans team.
Yes, indeed. Well, that was a great chat through Sydney and a fantastic interview with Tanya Kennedy earlier. Stay tuned for more club preview episodes from Free Kick this pre-season, and we'll chat to you later. Bye.
Bye.